George Frizzell woke up on the morning of February 4th, 1932, to his mother calling up the stairs. "George, come on, it's time to get up and do chores." And the first thing he heard after that was the sound of his sister putting wood in the wood box by the kitchen stove. She was already up, doing her chores. She was always getting up without getting yelled at, and George, he got up out of bed as quick as he could, and he could see his breath in his room. It was cold. There was ice on the inside of the windows. He grabbed his clothes, and he ran downstairs into the parlor where the parlor stove was going. He got dressed by that stove. It was a lot warmer there than in his room. And then he went through the kitchen to start to go out to the barn. And that was his chore in the morning. He helped his dad with the milking. They had 10 cows. They milked them all by hand. And when he opened the door, he just stood there, looking out into the yard, his mouth hanging open. Because during the night, he could see 1.5 feet of snow had fallen. And there it was, glistening in the early morning sunlight. George, he loved snow. He could see his father's footprints, the only marks in the snow, going from the door over to the barn and then in the barn door. And he started walking in his father's footprints, stretching his legs as wide as they would go and being very careful not to knock in the side of the footprints. And he was about halfway to the barn when he stopped. And he looked down to the side of the path his father had made. And he thought, you know, there ought to be an angel in the snow there. And as soon as he thought about it, he decided to do it. He lay right down in the snow, right down to the side of the path, and made this angel, waving his arms and his legs in the snow. And then he got up, stepped back into the path, and he looked. And that angel was a good angel, there on the right-hand side of the path. But then he looked over on the left-hand side. Well, didn't seem right, an angel being on one side of the path and not on the other. So he flopped down again and made another angel on that side of the path. He got back into those footprints. He looked and nodded to himself. Yeah, that's just the way it ought to be. And then he started walking again in his father's footprints towards the barn. And when he got to the barn, he was a little bit late. His father had already milked a couple extra cows. But when he started in milking, his father didn't say anything to him about him being late. You see, his father knew what George had probably done. And he thought to himself, it's worth doing a little extra work in the morning so you can see a couple angels before breakfast. And he did. He saw those angels on his way back in. After the milking, they had breakfast. They had oat flakes and wheat flakes mixed together and cooked up with butter and their own maple syrup on them. And while they were eating breakfast, George's father said to him, "You know, George, you're not be going to school this morning right away." George said, "I thought so." "Yeah, the road boss stopped by, and we got to shovel out that drift on West Leiden Road." "I thought we might," said George. "You see, West Leiden Road, going over to Coleraine, the wind always whipped across. And it would pile up the snow on a curve on West Leiden Road, because the wind went straight. And the road curved. And the wind would send that snow into some trees and start piling up, and the drift would get so big that sometimes the old plow that they'd put together to plow the roads couldn't make it through, and so they'd have to come and shovel it down." Well, they got busy after breakfast. They got their shovels, and they borrowed some paraffin wax from George's mom to wax up the shovel so the snow would fly off. And then they got the dump cart and hitched the horses up to it. And then they rode up over to West Leiden Road, over to that drift. And when they got there, all the men who'd come to shovel it down and some of the boys were standing there just looking at that drift. Looking up at that drift. It was huge. And then one of the men, they'd say, "You know, I think that's the biggest drift I've ever seen." And then there'd be a pause, and someone else would say, "Yeah, I think that is the biggest drift I've ever seen." And after everybody got a chance to say this at least once, the road boss, he came over to George, and he said, "George, you're the lightest one here. You're the littlest one. I tell you what, I want you to climb up to the top of this drift. I want you to take this horseshoe with you when you go. And you see the crook of that maple tree sticking out of the top of that drift? I want you to shinny over and put this horseshoe in the crook of that tree, because we're going to shovel this drift down. It's not going to be here anymore. When we tell people how big it was, they're not going to believe us. And when they don't believe us, we can just point to that horseshoe and say, George Frizzell put that there. It was at the top of the drift. And we'll prove it to them. So here, come on, take this horseshoe. Climb up there. And George, he took the horseshoe and he started to think light thoughts so he wouldn't punch through the drift. And he climbed up to the top. His knee broke through in a couple places, but he made it to the top all right. And then he started shinnying along the top of the drift and sending little snowballs down as he did. And he got over to the crook of that tree and he put that horseshoe in. And then he slid down on his backside. And all the men, they started cheering for him, and he didn't know what he thought of that. He never had so many people cheer for him before. He kind of got beat red and hid behind his dad as folks started shoveling. And maybe it was the cheering, I don't know. But snow practically flew off his shovel when it came his turn to shovel. They worked in two shifts, you know, had two dump carts going. One group of men and boys would come up and shovel into one dump cart. That dump cart would go away and dump the snow off out to the side somewhere, and the other dump cart come in, and then the men would shovel into that dump cart, and George, he was shoveling like crazy when it came his turn. And in no time at all, that drift was right down and the plow could get through. And then George waited. He didn't go away with his dad. You see, people got paid for the work they did on the roads. Sometimes the money just got taken off their taxes. And if they'd paid their taxes already, they got cash. Men got one rate and boys got half the rate that men got paid. And George's father, he'd paid off his taxes that year, so George was going to get some cash. He stood in line and the road boss started to give out the money. It got to George, the road boss looked at George and said, "You know, I've been thinking. The way you shoveled today, I can't give you boys' wages." And George thought, "Oh no. I was shoveling so hard, I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. Maybe I missed the cart half the time. I'm not even going to get boys' wages." And the road boss said, "No. I'm going to have to give you a man's wage for working today. I've never seen a boy shovel like that here." And he gave George full wages, a couple of dollars. And all the men who were left, they cheered for him again. And George, he didn't get so red this time. He thought he wouldn't mind men cheering for him like that as often as it could happen from then on. And on the way home, he was holding those $2 and thinking to himself, if he had enough now to buy that catcher's mitt that was in the Sears catalog, he'd been saving up for it for a long time. When he was about halfway home, he stopped thinking about that catcher's mitt. And he started thinking about what his mother was doing lately and all the folks at church. You see, they were raising money to send out west. There had been a drought out west, and farmers out there, they didn't have enough money for seed, and he knew what that meant, being a farmer himself, not have enough money for seed. And on the way home, he thought, well, maybe I don't need that catcher's mitt quite as much just yet. Maybe I'll give this money to my mother, and she can send it out to those folks out west. So when they got home, and his dad took the dump cart into the barn, George, he just hopped off the dump cart. He walked into the kitchen and where his mom was cooking. He held out the $2 and he said, "Mom, here, this is for those men that are out west. You can put it in that piggy bank you've been keeping up on the kitchen stove." And the way she looked at him when he handed her that money made him turn redder than when all those men had cheered for him. And he thought it was getting a little too hot in the kitchen. He'd go outside. And he did. It was a lot cooler out there. And he and his sister, there was some little time left before dinner. They decided to do some skiing. See, they'd heard about the Winter Olympics that were happening in Lake Placid that year. And ever since they'd heard about them, they decided they wanted to win gold medals. So they'd take the one pair of skis they had and they'd take turns. They'd go out to the side yard, going down towards the ice pond, and they would ski and take turns winning gold medals. One would ski down and the other would cheer, running after them, and they'd win a gold medal, and they'd come back up and switch off the skis. The other would go down and win a gold medal. Of course, sometimes they won silver medals just to prove they were human. And then it was time for dinner. They got called in. They put the skis away. And George, he ate a pretty good dinner. He went into the parlor with his parents. They always read aloud after dinner, but he didn't stay very long because he was tired. He went up, got into bed, and his arms ached as he went up the stairs. His legs ached too. But he fell asleep right away. And when his mother came in to check on him, as she always did, with a kerosene lantern to see how he was sleeping before she went to bed, his eyes were closed, but he was smiling in his sleep. And she knew that he must be having good dreams. On that night, February 4th, 1932,